God, we do come before you with acknowledgement that we are so dependent upon you. Times when we are not feeling well, times humble us into saying we have no power over these small bugs that have taken over our bodies, and they just lay us out for 3 or 4 days in a row. We pray that you would work a healing work in my body and so many others that are here. We pray for our families. We ask for this time of spring break and traveling, Lord, for your safety on people as they travel, for a great time of rest, a good time with family far and wide. We pray, Lord, that we would see your will be done in our hearts and in our lives this week. Pray for our time now, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts. We thank you that we can come together and reason one with another. We thank you that you can teach us these things in our minds so that as we interact with other people, Lord, that we would have answers to questions that they have, or even today we're answering questions that we ourselves have. Pray that this would not just be for knowledge only, Lord, but that you bring action about with this, that it would change our hearts and it would allow us to impact other people. We pray as we grow in knowledge of you, as we pray, as we grow in your grace, we pray as we grow in relationship with you through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to be better equipped tools in your hands to be doing the work that you have as you expand your kingdom. So Lord, speak to our heart now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, as we go forward here, these are questions that have been submitted by you that I'm taking a few weeks and answering questions that you have about God, believing that the Bible is 100% defensible. It's not something we need to hide. There's not things in there we're afraid to talk about, but we're able to engage people in conversations about topics of life and faith and how things interact with each other, and want to be able to be part of those conversations. So we're tackling some of these questions. And if you have questions that you would like me to answer, there's little sheets of paper by the offering box, and please fill them out. Every week people are throwing more questions in the offering box or sending them an email. Maybe this week you heard a coworker or a friend ask a question, and you were like, I don't know, write it down, put it in the box. Well, maybe it'll be the next one we talk about next week. Well, today is another one of those questions that a lot of people ask. Is Jesus Christ the only way to get to God? Or is there salvation found through other religions? We live in this era right now of this cultural relativism, that whatever you think is great for you, whatever I think is great for me, and as that continues to grow in our culture, it starts to seep into so many other areas of life. And I see how it has just made its way and created roots in religion today, to the point where so many people have gotten to the place where they'll say, you can believe whatever you want to believe, I'm going to believe whatever I want to believe, and it's all good because we're all believing the same thing with different flavors. Or maybe you've heard it described as life is this big wagon wheel, right? It's a circle on the outside, and all of these spokes are religions that go from where we are on the outside to where God is in the hub. And it doesn't matter what spoke you travel down, it doesn't matter what religion you choose, as long as you are trying to be devout in that religion, you're going to make your way to God. And someday when we get to heaven, God's going to sift it all out and figure out what was right and what was wrong. That's a false teaching that we have in our culture today. The truth is that there is only one way to get to God in heaven. By the way, because I've been out of it since Thursday afternoon, I didn't have a chance to create the underlines in your sermon notes. So if you look in there, you're going to find out there's no fill in the blanks this week. They've all been filled in. That's the very last thing I do is figure out which words I'm going to cross out of my sermon notes. And as I was giving an attempt to do it last night, I couldn't think straight enough, so I'm like, forget it, you just got all the words in there. So you can just kind of follow along today. In a recent survey, Barna found that 1 out of 3 of Julia's, of Danny's, of Hannah, of Bethany, Anthony, 1 out of 3 people who claim to follow Jesus Christ in those who are around 20 and under today, 1 out of 3 of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven. That means that 2 out of 3 people who are Christians, who claim that Jesus Christ is the way they're going to heaven, say that every other way around them is equal to theirs. Now that's sad, because that's not what Scripture has to say. And the reason we choose Christ is because he says he is the only way to get to God in heaven. So this is an important thing for us to talk about today. And as a matter of fact, the kids ministry right now is talking about these things, talking about how it is to develop a biblical worldview. And you know, I spent a lot of time in youth ministry when I was in Rome talking about biblical worldview. It's so important to say, the Bible says it, therefore I believe it. And we need to figure out what Scripture has to say. Well, a friend of mine named David Overholt is a pastor. I'm not sure what to call him. He was a youth pastor, and his youth group grew to about 1,000. And somewhere in that way, his pastor in his church said, you know what? You're a church. We're just going to let you be your own church. So they kind of spun him out of the main church he was in, and now he's a pastor of 1,000 teenagers in his own church. It's pretty neat. The average age in his church is like 17. And it's a fully functioning church. The teenagers, young adults, are all in leadership in their church. It's just the way it is. Well, he lives in Hamilton, Ontario, and it's a multicultural, diverse place that's there. And he went into different houses of worship to ask them questions about God. And I thought it was a genius idea. Instead of me presenting to you what other religions believe, he went in and interviewed them and said, tell me what you believe about God, and put all of those interviews together on a DVD and present when you see those people speaking about what they believe in God back to back. It is so clear to see that we do not all believe in the same God. We don't all believe in the same heaven. We don't all believe in the same way to get to heaven. And we don't all believe in what it is to live life following our heart after God. So what I've done is I've taken a few snippets of this video that Dave Overholt put together, just really asking the question about who is God? That's it. And you'll see in this video that there are very, very different answers. Check it out.
You know, there's so many different kinds of people in this world. We all look so different. There's so many different opinions on so many different things too, especially about religion. Have you ever heard different people talk about different religions? Yeah, it gets so confusing sometimes, I know. And do we really believe the same thing? I know at school they tell you that pretty much all religions believe the same thing. We all are about peace and love and all that kind of stuff, so it really doesn't matter what you believe. In fact, they'll tell you at school, if you think your religion stands apart in any way, then you're prejudiced, you're intolerant. Well, is that the truth? Have we ever really checked it out? In the next few moments, we're going to be going to different houses of faith, and we're going to ask the people, the leaders themselves, what they believe and whether our religions believe the same thing. So I want you to come and join us. I know there's one story that you hear at school, that there's this big elephant that we're all touching. The Hindus are touching the ears, the Buddhists maybe the tail, and the Christians the legs, but we're all the same animal. The question for us today, is it the same animal? Or are we in different pens at a zoo, touching completely different things? So use your own mind, listen deeply to what these people say, and see, are we really the same?
Well, God is, you know, in the Sikh religion we have what's called Ek Onkar, which means God is one. And the whole foundation of the Sikh faith is the belief that there's one God, and that one God is the same God that pervades every faith and every religion. Sikhism actually is a very universal faith. So God is what G-O-D, generates, organizes, and delivers, right? So it's an understanding that that God pervades everywhere and everything, and that through understanding that we're creatures, that we're created by a creator, and that creator, if you define it as God, some people choose to say as a greater source or a more powerful being or however, but it's represented as really the foundation and the formation of existence.
In our Buddhist belief, there is no God. God is eternal, right? But our belief in Buddhism is there's no eternal sort of being or anything. We believe in the theory of anatta, that means no self, no soul, and no God either.
The Hare Krishna movement is a monotheistic religion. We believe that there is one God. He has many, many names, and he appears in many different ways. Well, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he has actually created many universes. And the universes function as more or less as reform schools for those souls who have forgotten their relationship with God. And we are meant to be here to reestablish our relationship with God. So within each material universe, there are many functions that need to be performed. Somebody has to look after the weather, the rotation of the planetary systems, the gravitational pulls between the planets. All those things have to be regulated by certain personalities. So they are personalities just like you and I, but due to their pious actions, they've become good servants of God. So they get put into positions in the universe that are higher than ours, and they are deemed demigods. But they are not worshipped as the Supreme Lord. There's only one Supreme Lord. Not necessarily in this lifetime, but if you live a very good life in this lifetime, then you may be promoted to a planet, a higher planet in this universe, where you are put in charge of some of the goings-on in this universe.
God is someone who created us. He's omnipotent, he's single, he has no family, no father and son, and he controls everything. He created us. He supplies the food to us. He gives us the sickness. He gives us the wellness from the sickness. He is the one who created, and he is the one who is going to give us the death. We are going to die, but we believe so-and-so, and it's been mentioned in the Quran, that if any leaf, and this is the autumn season you can see, which fall from a tree, it is the order of the God, with the permission of God, that leaves from the branch and hits on the ground.
We believe the Supreme Being, like I can look at it as a goddess of knowledge when I am studying for exam and then I want her blessings for getting a good mark. And as well as, you know, if I am doing a business, I see the Supreme Being as a goddess of wealth, which is Lakshmi. And then the main deity here is Kartik, who is the commander-in-chief of the divine forces. So it is like, he is the savior of the good. And we have the goddess, universal mother, which is Goddess Durga. But all of these together, they are simply one face or one aspect of the Supreme Being.
What do people believe about different gods? Well, there's one person that thinks that there's demigods. Some people think that there's one God that makes leaves fall from trees. Someone else believes that there is no God, that there's only self. So what do Christians believe about God? We believe about a God of relationship, that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's been Trinity and lived in relationship forever. What? That God wants to have a relationship with us. That there's a verse in John that says, and this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God.
So again, putting those back to back, and you see there's radical differences in how that God is understood by different religions. And if you have a friend that says, you know what, all religions serve the same God, believe in the same God, you can just start to look into what it is that religions believe, and you realize they're radically different understandings of who God is. Some of them are out there, aren't they? That God has created parallel universes with different planets that are reform schools for you to be sent to when you're not behaving very well. It's a regeneration of reincarnation, a whole new another concept of that, that if you don't do it good, you have to do it again. If you do better, then you get to do it again better. It's all these different concepts. As we start to look at eternity, you see that we believe in radically different things in eternity. The one that's the closest to us is Islam's, who believe that those who follow the one true God go to heaven for all of eternity, and those who don't go to hell separated from God. But our definition of God is so radically different, as you saw there. In fact, the man that was speaking about God said, in fact, that God is one. He has no father or son. They do not believe in the Trinity. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. It's really important to know those things. So again, as Dave Overholt said, what does Scripture have to say? I think it's really important for us to know. If we want to have a biblical worldview, what does the Bible say? Is Jesus the only way to get to God? Or are there a whole bunch of different paths that are there? And I've given you the scriptures. Let me read them for you. John 14:6. Many of us have memorized this. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one. Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, some have wondered if this concept of all religions are the same and they all lead to the same God, then why do we have to tell people about Jesus? That wouldn't make sense. If it didn't matter what you really believed, and there really is no hell, or God's going to redeem all people from hell in the end, then it really wouldn't matter. But we see so much of the New Testament talks about taking this message of good news, that Jesus is the Savior, that you can go to heaven for all of eternity, and that you can have life in abundance with Him today. And we need to take this message and tell everybody this message. And if all religions were the same, then there would not be that desire, that drive, that whole purpose in life to complete the Great Commission. As Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." One of my life theme verses comes out of Acts. It's Acts 26:18. It's Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Yeah. In Romans chapter 10, Paul's clear. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Amen. And again, the inference there is if you do not do that, then you will not be saved. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So we see the importance there of us having a calling and a purpose by God to take this good news and to take it to others. It is one of the things that drives us as a denomination to take the good news of Jesus Christ as found in the gospel and take it to the whole world. Why? Because we believe that the only way to have relationship with God, as Dave Overholt said, is to model that relationship that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has had for all of eternity and have relationship with God today through Christ. Well, along with this is the next question. How can we tell if a religion is true or false? In my life, I've developed that there's three key areas. There's three tests that I like to apply to other people to find out if what they're believing is true in Scripture, if they're a Christian or not. And those three key questions, those tests are, number one, do they believe that Jesus Christ is God? Because as later on in this video, and I'm not showing you the whole video that Dave Overholt put together, later on you find out that everybody believes in Jesus. I don't think that there is a religion that does not believe in Jesus. They all believe that he's here. They all believe that he was good. They all believe that he was a prophet. They all believe that he has neat things to say. In fact, Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet of God lower than Muhammad and that you should listen to what he has to say. And in conversations with them, I always say, well, what about John 14:6 then? Because in John 14:6, he said he is God, and the only way to have relationship with the Father is through him. And they always say, I never heard that before. To believe that Jesus Christ is God, not just a man, not just a prophet, but he is God. Number two, that Jesus was born as a man, that he lived on this earth, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and he rose again from the dead. Some other religions believe that Jesus made his way all the way up to that crucifixion time, And then Jesus was replaced on the cross with someone else. Most say it was Judas. And God made Judas look like Jesus because he was the one who deserved the punishment and Jesus didn't, so he saved him. But this is very important for Jesus to have died. Why is that? So that we can have salvation. He had to pay the penalty of our sin, the one perfect lamb paying for the cost of that. So again, some people believe that Jesus came in towards the end. Some people believe that Jesus was saved by God on the cross and was delivered on the third day and everybody thought things were great. No, you have to believe that he lived, that he was crucified, dead and buried, descended into hell, third day rose again from the dead, part of the Apostles' Creed. The third one is that Jesus is the only way to get to God. It's so clear in Scripture. He is the only way to get to God. So as you talk with other people, you need to ask them those three questions and see what they think about those things. Now, there's a difference between false religions and different denominations within Christianity. Some people get those confused. So once we look at the difference between denominations, you see that we start with Catholics and Protestants. Protestants are Christian denominations that are not Catholic, and the whole breaking with Martin Luther many, many years ago started that whole thing. When you look at what's the difference between Catholics and Protestants, what's the difference between different Christian denominations, they all differ on beliefs about God, beliefs about the Bible, practices on how we experience God in life, and as they've differed about those things, they've kind of separated into different groups, all believing in Jesus, but applying that belief in different ways in life. You really can't look at one or the other and say anybody's got 100% of the truth. They all have just different flavors of it or different ways to look at it. Amen. We could argue over whether some of them are more right or more wrong, but I think that's a fruitless argument. Some of the different Protestant denominations are listed here. Of course, we are a Protestant denomination, Christian Missionary Alliance, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutherans, Baptists, Assembly of God, Wesleyan, Seventh-day Adventists, non-denominational. Many of those are good Christian churches. There's a whole bunch of other different denominations that come out of the Protestant way of looking at things. But I want to warn you today about some that kind of present themselves as if they are Christians who truly are not. Some of those are Christian Scientists, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Unitarian or Universalists. These are people who would like you to believe that they are just like you, that they believe all the same things that you, they believe that Jesus Christ is a good guy and things like that, and each one of these religions has a different belief about Jesus. And as you ask them those three questions, you'll find out that they don't believe the same thing that you do, and you need to bring them to the point of saying, these are really, really important for you to understand. By the way, some of the differences between our denominations. For instance, Catholics believe that the Pope is the highest authority in the church, and Protestants believe that Scripture is the highest authority in the church. There's a bunch of other different beliefs that separate us. You can look and see what Martin Luther posted on the wall. Many of those are still true today as far as differences between what we believe from the Catholics. You'll see that differences between Christian denominations are modes of baptism, modes of worship. Some are very liturgical. Some churches have the same sermons that are preached every Sunday throughout the entire year, similar to what Celebrate Recovery does. You come to CR on any Friday night and have a pretty good idea of what is going to be taught that week because it's repeated year after year after year. Some churches do the same thing on Sunday mornings. Some of them are hymns only, and some of them have more demonstrative worship than we have here. They differ on things like that. Some of them differ on the interpretation of authority of Scripture. They believe this is true and this is not true. And again, all of them have caused to gather together in different groups based on what is very, very important to them. One of the only differences between us and Assembly of God, for instance, it's a denomination that was rooted along with the Christian Missionary Alliance and split off on the early days because of the difference in belief about speaking in tongues. Assembly of God believes that you must speak in tongues or you are not saved. And A.B. Simpson said, no, that's not true. That's not in Scripture. And that was a breaking in the very early connections between us and the Assembly of God, that it's a difference in Scripture. Again, there's you talk to different people of different religions and you'll find that there's these small different nuances of what we believe. if there's 15 or 20 statements of faith, you'll find that maybe two-thirds of them to three-quarters of them are all the same. And then there's just one or two, three or four, that differentiate us into different camps and different beliefs. But again, if we're agreeing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that there's a Trinitarian God, and that Christ is the perfect man sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, then is it okay for us to differ over how you baptize or whether you think this is important or that is important? And we can unite under those very, very important things of who Jesus Christ is and what salvation comes about. So that's some of the things that create the gaps between different religions and different denominations. We all want to be on the same team with different denominations, but very careful to realize that other religions and we are not on the same team. We're not serving the same God. We're not worshiping the same God. We're not telling other people about the same God. And if we follow that line of reasoning, we are not going to be together in heaven. A friend of mine who's Jehovah's Witness and I, we had a number of conversations about this. And towards the end, I said to him, "Do you believe that you and I will be in heaven together?" And he said, "Absolutely not. Absolutely not." We disagreed on one thing, whether Jesus Christ was God. That's what we disagreed on. That was it. Didn't matter what day we go to church or whether we celebrate birthdays. It didn't matter all those other kinds of things. That's the most important thing. So where's the foundational things that are very, very important for us to look at? Well, let me pray for you. Again, it's good for us to have this head knowledge, but let's make sure that we find practical ways to use these things as we interact with others around us. And I think we have one more song. Oh, we're not. Okay, I'm going to pray and we'll be done. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for who you are. I thank you that you have clearly shown us who you are through your word. I pray that you would teach us to be good stewards of your word. Teach us to be people of prayer and people of study and people of conversation. That you would allow us to be with you so that you can speak into our